welcome to the Gandhara, the podcast by Ready for Europe Radio Liberty, focusing on Pakistan in Afghanistan. I'm Mohammed Tahir, your host here in Washington, D.C. Iranian authorities are increasingly flirting with the Taliban in Afghanistan. Afghan officials say they are seen meeting the insurgents, and they suspect that in certain cases, Iran is equipping the insurgents with weapons and ammunition. But on the other hand, Iranian officials deny the accusation, saying their partner in Afghanistan is the Afghan government. Also, Iran is in the opposite side of the frame in terms of ideological differences with the Sunni radical group of the Taliban. Regardless, the debate is heating up, and this tension coincides with increasing rhetoric in Washington, D.C. about Iran. So, on this episode of Gandhara, Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, South Asia podcast, we will try to get to the bottom of what is really happening and why now. To do so, I'm joined by Ahmed Khalid Majidyar, who is the managing editor of Iran program at the Middle East Institute in Washington, D.C. Ahmed, welcome to the Gandhara.
Glad to be with you, Mohammed.
Very nice to have you. Also joining us from Washington, D.C. is Eric Jones, who is the former U.S. intelligence analyst in eastern Afghanistan. Eric, welcome to the Gandhara.
Thanks. Glad to be here today.
Very nice to have you. As always, Abu Bakr Siddiq is tuning in from Prague, who is the editor of Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty's Gandhara website, focusing on Pakistan in Afghanistan. Gentlemen, welcome to the Gandhara again.
Thank you.
Very nice to have you, as always. We have a lot to talk today, and while talking about this, we will be in the uncharted water, so we will be discussing and learning a lot on the go. So please feel free to amplify, expand, or disagree directly with the points other guests are making. Please don't wait for me to prompt your questions so that we have a lively and all-sided debate today. With this, we are seeing increasing complaints by the regional authorities in Afghanistan of an Iranian involvement. List of the accusations are long, ranging from Iran providing insurgents with weapons, meeting them on the Afghan soil, providing directives. List goes on and on. The question is, what is really happening? Let's start with you, Abu Bakr, if we can.
Well, I think with Iran, obviously, the topic of the day is this covert relations in a way between the Islamic Republic and the Taliban. But I will also like to point out to a few broader themes in a way of background. I think Iran has generally been very supportive of the post-Taliban arrangements. We shouldn't forget that Iran even helped initially after in late 2001, the U.S. military effort by providing some intelligence, for instance, on Taliban targets and stuff. But in recent years, Iran is, like many players in the region, is hedging its bets. From what we know is that over the years, Iran had kind of some low-level contacts with the Taliban, but at least from 2014, these contacts have turned into some kind of cooperation. In 2014, for instance, two of the main Taliban leaders, the former Taliban leader, Akhtar Muhammad Mansur, and his main rival, then Maulvi Zakir, both approached Iran, and Iran at that point didn't offer any material support, but at least that kind of paved the way to further future cooperation. But more solid evidence of Iranian relationship or covert assistance with the Taliban emerged last year when the former Taliban leader, Mullah Akhtar Muhammad Mansur, was killed when he finished a visit to Iran, and he was literally traveling on the road from the Iranian border in Pakistan to the southwestern city of Pakistan. And then it's not a coincidence that during the past 3 years, most of the Islamic State or IS cells in all the Afghan provinces that border Iran, for instance, the southern Restif province of Helmand, neighboring province of Farah, and even in another southern province, Zabul, most of the Taliban went after all these cells of Islamic State militant, which of course is something that that Iran served well, and this Islamic State threat is now cited as one of the main motivations for a Shia Iran or the Shia clerical regime in Tehran to cooperate with Sunni Taliban in Afghanistan.
Very interesting. Ahmed, you have written a lot about this topic. A governor of Farah province in Afghanistan even would say that Iran harbors the Taliban families. What is the size, scope, or range of Iran's activities in Afghanistan, and since when we know about this?
Well, from the very start of the U.S. intervention in Afghanistan in late 2001, Iran, the Iranian government has played both sides of the conflict. On the one hand, the Iranians have played an active part in Afghanistan's reconstruction. Iran has pledged about $1 billion to Afghanistan's development and rebuilding. It has so far given the Afghan government about $500 million. But on the other hand, we've seen that the Iranian Revolutionary Guards and its secretive Quds Force have maintained ties with the Taliban from the very early stages of the post-Taliban time, starting from 2002. But initially, Iran provided very measured and small and calculated support to the Taliban in a very secretive ways. That increased in the year 2006 and 2007. Perhaps the reason for that was the increasing tension between the United States and Iran over Tehran's controversial nuclear program, and Iran perceived the United States' presence in Afghanistan and also in Iraq as well as a threat in case of an escalation or a military confrontation. But recently, that kind of the ties between Iran and the Taliban have become public. Neither the Taliban nor the Iranians make it a secret that they have ties. Indeed, the Iranian ambassador to Kabul recently mentioned that the Iranian government maintains in contact with the Taliban for intelligence purposes. He didn't elaborate more. As you mentioned, the governors of Helmand province, of Farah province, which borders Iran, have repeatedly accused the Iranian government of destabilizing their provinces. But again, this issue is nothing new. What is different now is that the level of cooperation and contacts and relationship between the Iranian government and Taliban have increased significantly. The reason that Iran is supporting the Taliban and has deepened and increased its ties with the Taliban recently, if you survey the Iranian media, the Afghan media, and also statements by officials of both countries, you find four key dimensions. First and foremost, it is the undercut the U.S. mission in Afghanistan and speed up the withdrawal of the remaining U.S. troops from the country. Secondly, it is to establish a buffer zone in western Afghanistan against a perceived threat of the so-called Islamic State alongside its eastern border. And third, it's the use of its ties with the Taliban for its geopolitical agenda in southern Central Asia. And finally, the Iranian government has used its ties with the Afghan government for political concessions from Kabul. As the governor of Farah mentioned before, that sometimes Iran is providing support to the Taliban to create instability in Farah and prevent the construction of hydroelectric dams, water dams, so that the Afghan waters flow freely inside Iran. So this is a multidimensional policy that Iran has been playing over the past decade and a half.
Ahmed, I have a kind of opposite question to that. Supporting the Taliban means waging war against the Afghan government. And supporting
that Taliban is a local issue, Mohammed. But the broader strategy is to undermine the U.S. mission in Afghanistan and speed up the withdrawal of the U.S. troops.
But why it is local issue, since Taliban is undermining the authority of the Afghan government? If you are supporting the enemy of the government, obviously you are creating another enemy in the Kabul, isn't it?
Absolutely. The Afghan parliamentarians have complained about Iranian support to the Taliban, about Iranians training, recruiting, and indoctrinating Afghan refugees, mostly Shiites, and sending them to the front lines in Syria. The Afghans have been vocal about it, but not the Afghan government. And the reason for that is that when I have asked the Afghan officials, they say that we cannot fight with two powerful neighbors at the same time. What they mean by that is that Afghans still see the Pakistani support to the Taliban a bigger issue than the Iranian support to the Taliban.
Okay, let's bring Eric here, talking about the contact between Iran and the Taliban. Recently, U.S. military openly started talking about this. So since when did they know about this, and what they have been doing about it?
Well, first of all, it's important to point to, at the outset of the invasion in 2001, the Iranian regime at the time, it was in its interest to provide at least a tacit level of support to the United States and its NATO allies as we went in to topple the Taliban regime. Just a few years prior, you had the deaths of the diplomats, the Iranian diplomats in Mazar-e-Sharif, and those wounds were still pretty fresh with the Tehran regime. So it was saying something that a problematic regime headed by the Taliban on their eastern flank concerned Tehran. As always, geopolitics are always evident in Afghanistan. And I think to wind back to a point made just a moment ago, the recent election of Donald Trump has probably been one of the drivers for the anticipatory move by Tehran to increase or ratchet up tensions with their support to the Taliban. I think Iran is playing a dangerous game in this regard. They certainly don't want to see a return to power by the Taliban. And they're doing so at a moment when the national unity government is riven with problems, many, driven by the recent investigation and, pending issues with Dostum and the relationship with Abdullah and Ghani. But I think in the long term, you have a myriad of issues which sort of converge in the western part of Afghanistan, which include Indian and Japanese interests in the port that's planned in Chabahar. You have Pakistani interests and Chinese backing for a competing port in Pakistan. And all of this sort of descends at a time when Afghanistan's government is wobbling a little bit. And with the new administration in the United States, there are questions as to what level of support Washington is going to provide. Now, that said, Donald Trump has made a few comments in the last few weeks, which indicate that he's open. He personally provided a statement to Ghani, which ostensibly said he is open to increasing troop levels in Afghanistan. Now, what level of public support he would have for doing that, how it fits into his confrontational stance with Iran over the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action and the nuclear deal, this all makes for a very unstable environment by which Iran could be ratcheting up support for the Taliban.
Again, coming back to this topic of Taliban and Iran contact, Mr. Majidyar explained that there is a reason behind why the central government in Afghanistan is not proactively doing anything about that, but U.S. being a kind of a guarantor of the security stability in Afghanistan, what they have been doing with the knowledge that they already have some level of Iranian involvement in Afghanistan, what they have been doing about that so far?
I think it's been business as usual in the last few years there. I mean, troop levels have vacillated a little bit, but most of the concern, I think, has remained in the north and the east. And the reasons being obvious, the problems in Kunduz that have risen and sort of ebbed and flowed, as well as the recent sort of interaction with the Islamic State, which seems to be mostly focused in Nangarhar in the far east. But, with all these dynamics of the more regional dynamics of the problems between the Islamic State and the challenge that Iran perceives that to be to their regime, it makes sense that Iran would decide to increase their support for a counterforce like the Taliban. But again, I think it's quite dangerous to assume that the United States was on its way out the door. I'm still not convinced that, the Trump administration is going to completely divest from the country. There's just too many things that could collapse and go wrong for United States interests in Afghanistan and regionally for that to be even on the horizon at this point.
Abu Bakr,
can I quickly just weigh on that issue as well?
Sure.
I totally agree with Eric. I just wanted to add that the U.S. Military presence and also intelligence assets in Afghanistan has dramatically decreased over the past years. So the United States does not have that capability anymore to keep a close check on the Iranian activities in Western Afghanistan in particular, but also in Southern Afghanistan, especially in the province of Helmand. The United States had a provincial reconstruction team and a lot of forces in Farah province before, but those troops have left the province. And that has created a vacuum for the Taliban to fill in, and also that has allowed Iranians to increase their activities. If you believe the Afghan media, the Iranians even have established some bases. The Iranian besiege force has reportedly established a base that recruits Afghans, not just to fight in Afghanistan, but also for their war in Syria.
Abu Bakr, it seems to me that we are basing our sources as the Afghan media too much here. But in the past, we also seen that there have been some misreporting on their behalf. So, and also there is some huge rhetoric in local level in province of Helmand in Farah, for instance, about this Iranian involvement. On the other hand, you have Iran not much talking about this, and Afghan central government is also not paying that much attention as if it was a serious threat. So are we a little bit exaggerating the Iranian involvement here, or it is really become a serious issue?
Well, yesterday this or a similar question was posed to the Afghan National Security Advisor, Mr. Hanif Atmar, who is right now visiting NATO in Brussels. And he came up with a very measured answer. He said that, look, I mean, a lot of people that we have checked with Iran and also with Russia, we have asked them what kind of contacts they have with the Taliban and whether they are supporting the Taliban. And he told journalists that both Tehran and Moscow told them that they have only contacts with the insurgents, which they intend to use for bringing insurgents to the table or helping in the Afghan peace process, and they are not helping the Taliban. But I think, and of course, I mean, there is no way to independently verify some of these claims, particularly a lot of these Afghan media reports cite Afghan officials who often make claims, but they do not then back their claims with evidence. There is also another angle to this, is that there is a lot of tension within Iran, and I'm sure Mr. Majidiar will elaborate on that, in its approach towards Afghanistan. I mean, Iran is a kind of a revolutionary Shia state now. Iran has key national interests in Afghanistan. I mean, Afghanistan is a source of a lot of water for Iran. So peace and stability and friendly relations in Afghanistan are in Iran's best national interest. But then now the current Iranian regime, or some radical parts of it, institutions and individuals, are really have embarked on a transnational Shia Islamist agenda. I mean, Iran is now fighting, essentially, at least carrying half of the burden of fighting on ground in Syria. And it has, and there is no doubt, because even Iranian media has showed these funerals in Qom for Afghan fighters. There is no doubt that some of Basij and Quds forces people working for General Soleimani are recruiting Afghans, not only Afghans, but also Pakistani Shia fighters to fight in Syria. There is a Zainab Yoon brigade. And of course, this regime feels that IS, this extremist Salafi Takfiri Sunni organization, which considers all Shias as infidels, as a mortal threat, and is doing whatever it can to prevent it from establishing foothold in Afghanistan. But I must also point to this optimism, which is that we have seen that Iran, unlike Pakistan, it is hedging its bets, but it's not like going out of its way to destabilize Afghanistan in a really big way.
The point about Iran's concern on IS well taken, but I have to press you a little bit on this, Abu Bakr. I was curious that Iran borders with three Afghan provinces, that is Herat, Farah, Nimruz, but the loudest noise is coming from Helmand governor. His province is not even has a border with Iran, I believe. In local leadership in Herat, as well as Nimruz, rarely cited on the media on alleged Iranian infiltration in this province. Why is that?
Well, I mean, Nimruz is really, I mean, sparsely populated. It's a very remote region within Afghanistan. And one of the facts of the life is that there are hardly any journalists working out of Nimruz. So that's why you rarely see Nimruz being mentioned in media reporting. There are occasions when journalists go there, but there is a lot happening on that border as well, because Afghanistan, as you know, is the largest producer of opium and its main product, heroin. particularly the province of Helmand. And Iran has some of the world's biggest addiction rates, and it is also a key trafficking route for some of drugs produced in Afghanistan. So, I mean, in that way, Helmand is kind of closely connected to Iran. And then, of course, Iran and like in Pakistan, Iran also shares, particularly in these border regions, population with Afghanistan. They're Baluch ethnic group, which are mostly Sunni people, but different from Pashtuns, a separate ethnicity from Pashtuns. They border Iran and the Iranian province of Sistan Baluchistan, which is the predominant Sunni province in Iran, but which is also the predominant Baluch province in Iran, obvious from its name. So there is also, I mean, this kind of cross-border dynamic. But Helmand is strategically very important. So even if the Taliban overrun Nimroz, it won't be such a big setback to the Afghan government in comparison to if, for example, Helmand falls. In Farah, I think the Iranian interests are mainly to prevent IS establishing a foothold. They have, I mean, the fighting in the recent year or so, the past 2 years, has mainly been, there were a lot of accusations, and some of these kind of Taliban splinter groups have also made these accusations that Iran is helping everybody who is ready to pick up a gun against the Islamic State. And we should not forget that, I mean, in the previous years, it's not inconceivable that Iran did provide support to everyone who was ready to attack NATO, because one of Iranian larger objective was, military objective was to prevent the U.S., for instance, from establishing a big base in Shindand in Herat, which is close to the Iranian border and which was supposed to be Afghanistan before the war. It was a major military air base.
From the discussion that we are having now about the level of Iranian engagement inside Afghanistan, it looks like kind of Wild West. According to local media or the local Afghan officials, that Iranians are providing weapons. The families of the Taliban being harbored in Iran, big question. So what is the option that Afghan authorities have to prevent this from happening? Ahmed or Eric, whoever wants to take this question.
I think that speaking, you know, within the time frame of the last few months, and actually you can extrapolate this last few years, the insurgency during, you know, the peak years of the United States and ISAF war, before responsibility was handed over to ANSAF in 2014, most of that was concentrated in Helmand and Kandahar in the south and in, you know, the east from, you know, Kunar and Nuristan southward to, you know, Khost and Paktika and Paktia and even Ghazni. I think now, you know, the Iranians are seemingly taking advantage of a moment when that western flank has become even more obviously vulnerable. And someone mentioned earlier the lack of journalist reporting in the area. I think that that's more indicative of the public's lack of awareness rather than a lack of activity. I certainly believe the activity is at or above the levels that it was at the peak years of the war. Iranian interests in this, like I've said previously, I think it's a very dangerous move given that they are unsure at this point what level of pressure the Trump administration is going to both put on the Tehran regime as well as their decision of whether or not to maintain, reduce, or increase U.S. military forces in Afghanistan. I'm tempted to believe that there will be an increase in U.S. forces and a possible, you know, inflation of overall NATO troop levels there. And I think it would be coupled with the administration's efforts to apply even more pressure on Tehran to cooperate on things, you know, related to recent ballistic missile testing and to sort of roll back that Iranian influence that is now quite obvious for supporting the Taliban.
Thank you, Eric. Now, let's broaden the subject a little bit further by expanding to the regional and international aspect of that, which you alluded, Eric, more than twice, though the alleged Iranian involvement yet to be determined clearly and independently verified. But even if half of these are true, what the Afghan officials or the media reporting locally, it shows that serious efforts underway on behalf of Iran. So what is it that Tehran is really trying to achieve? We will continue debate discussing this and many other questions shortly. First, let me recap the debate that today we are discussing: the alleged increasing Iranian involvement in Afghanistan and possible Iranian objective behind it. Discussing the subject with me are Ahmed Khalid Majidyar, who is the managing editor of Iran Program at the Middle East Institute; Eric Jones, former U.S. intelligence analyst in Afghanistan. Eric also runs a website called Foreign Intrigue. Abubakar Siddiq is tuning in from Prague, who is the editor of Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty's Gandhara website, focusing on Pakistan in Afghanistan. I'm Mohammed Tahir, host of the Gandhara podcast here in Washington, D.C. So before the break, we were talking about realities on the ground. Based on what we discussed, though size and scope is open to question, but it seems that some regional authorities in Afghanistan is seriously concerned about what they call the Iranian involvement. So what does the timing tell us from Iranian perspective, Ahmed?
But the Iranian support for the Taliban groups, that is tied to Iran's geopolitical agenda in the region, but most importantly to its relations or tension between Tehran and the United States, as the problems and tension between Tehran and Washington is escalating again after the coming to power of the Trump administration. We can expect that the Iranian support and also destabilizing role in Afghanistan will increase it, in Afghanistan in particular, but also in the region as well. We can see similar issues in Syria, in Iraq. Over the past week alone, we see that some of the Iranian-backed militia groups in Iraq, for example, the Harakat al-Najba, which is funded and directed by the Iranian Revolutionary Guards in Iraq, they have threatened the U.S. interests in Iraq, and some other groups have warned to attack U.S. Bases, including the embassy in Iraq, if the Iranian security is threatened. So it's not just Afghanistan, it's just Iran. It's tied to Iran's regional agenda. But I largely agree with your other speakers in that Iran's long-term and short-term objectives in Afghanistan, they are inconsistent. Iran does see a peaceful Afghanistan, free of the Taliban, free of the ISIS, free of Al-Qaeda, as essential for its national security as well as economic and political interests in the region. As the flow of about 3 million Afghan refugees, as vast amount of narcotics smuggled into Iran, has had destabilizing effects on the Iranian society. But at present, the presence of the United States and the simmering tension between Tehran and Washington is the biggest perceived threat to the Iranians. And as long as that threat remains, we cannot hope that Iran plays only a positive role in Afghanistan.
On a broader picture, Abubakar, when talking about foreign involvement in local affairs of Afghanistan, members of the central government in Kabul would name not only Tehran, also Pakistan and Russia. Pakistan is anyway a long-standing issue, but the fact that the alleged Iranian move in Afghanistan coincides with similar move or the alleged move by Russia, does this help to explain anything about the Iranian objectives more clearly?
Well, I think we have to be reminiscent of Afghanistan's recent history, where there has been a history of these kind of regional coalition, regional blocs supporting various actors within Afghanistan. I mean, before the U.S.-led military intervention in 2001, they toppled the Taliban. The anti-Taliban forces were supported by Iran, Russia, India, and Central Asian stands. So there was this kind of grouping, and I'm sure that, I mean, Russia is trying to revive something similar, but now, ironically, by supporting the Taliban and posing as, in a way, supporting what they think, or maybe they want to project as American occupation of Afghanistan and helping Afghans, in a sense, to fight against that. But on the Iran specifically, we have to remind ourselves that I don't see Iran committing any, and also for that matter Russia, committing any large-scale resources to essentially bankroll a Taliban insurgency, which might be kind of very different from what Pakistan is doing. And I frankly do not see Iran having those kind of wherewithal, knowledge, contacts, because we have to remember that back in the 1990s, when Taliban were ruling most of Afghanistan, they nearly went to war with Iran in 1980-98. There were Iranian troops amassed on Afghan border after the Iranian diplomats were killed in the northern city of Mazar-e-Sharif. And then the Taliban and the Iranian regime are nearly the opposite poles of this Islamic fundamentalist fulcrum, one being an extreme Shia version, the other one being fundamentalist Orthodox or ultra-Orthodox, in a way, Sunni version of Islam. What is happening here is that they are serving each other's short-term interests. Now, the key thing to look for is how will the Trump administration deal with it?
Okay. So, Eric, what's the Trump administration's option? How they are going to deal with this?
I certainly think we see some sort of reflection of their intent in the recent escalation of tensions almost immediately after the inauguration with Iran over the JCPOA. I don't believe at this point you'll see any significant reduction in U.S. presence in Afghanistan, given that it would appear to signal to both Russia and to Iran that United States interests have been, you know, either basically reinforced sufficiently to reduce the military presence, or that we've assessed that the fulcrum is going to be in the Levant and our focus is going to be in Syria and Iraq. I just don't see that happening. I think, as the commentator mentioned a moment ago, that recent, or not so recent, strike on Mansour indicates that there is some high level of coordination and at least a strategic level of cooperation between Tehran and the Taliban. And the manifestation of the current state of the Taliban since the 90s is 180 degrees different. I think Iran sees a short-term ally in the Taliban to apply pressure on the government in Kabul right now, which is at a moment in time where it is very vulnerable to any sort of violent upheaval. The problems in the north, coupled with that in the west, it serves Iran's interest to apply that pressure, maybe as a future negotiating tactic. To round this out, I believe that the Trump administration is probably going to stay quite invested in Afghanistan, and that reports of a quick departure of U.S. military forces are probably, they're just not assessing the current environment for what its value is across the entire region with regard to U.S.-Tehran relations as well.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. You know, it's very interesting discussion. Unfortunately, we also have to end our debate, but also there's a lot out there in terms of the allegations of Iranian involvement in Afghanistan, very hard to verify them. But what is the case is, besides Pakistan, now you have Iran in Russia in this or the other way back in the Afghan theater. All this is happening when America First rhetoric is playing out in Washington, D.C. So, Ahmed, what is the scenario for upcoming few years for Afghanistan? What we should expect to see happening there?
I agree with Eric that the Trump administration would not abandon Afghanistan, will not withdraw troops prematurely, immediately. I think that the lessons learned from the post-withdrawal Iraq for the Obama administration had a positive impact on the U.S. policy in Afghanistan, because President Obama, despite its initial promises that he will end the Afghan engagement by the end of his term, he changed his decision. He did not withdraw troops. As the emergence of the ISIS in Afghanistan and the resurgence of the Taliban, of course, played a role. But ultimately, what he learned from Iraq, that was a big lesson. And the candidate Trump during the campaign season criticized the Obama administration time and time again for withdrawing troops from Iraq precipitously and creating the vacuum that was felt by the ISIS. So I don't think that he will repeat that mistake in Afghanistan, and then will be blamed for whatever will happen after the withdrawal there. And also, if we look at some of the key advisors to the President Trump, to his cabinet members, especially the Secretary of Defense, who has a very vast knowledge, General Mattis, who has a very vast knowledge of the terrorism issue in general, but also in Afghanistan in particular. He has been vocal supporter of the Afghan mission So he will also advocate for an enduring or long-term commitment to Afghanistan. So that will not change. But ultimately, we have discussed all this. The trajectory of war in Afghanistan is not in the Iranian hands. Ultimately, if the Afghan war is to be won, there needs to be a change in Pakistan.
Okay. Collapse of the Afghan government seems to be in no one's interest, and I believe no one is talking about this these days in the region. So what is the, Abu Bakr, the last point, what's the best realistic scenario to avoid any of these pessimistic picture about the future of Afghanistan?
Well, the thing is that if you can imagine yourself in a role to advise policymakers, I think from Washington's perspective, I think there will be kind of a renewed focus on the security and war against terrorism or war against extremism aspect of all this, with General Mattis and General Flynn being largely in charge of the Afghanistan policy in the forecoming future. And they both have, luckily, a lot of experience in both have served in Afghanistan. They know the theater well. So there will be a kind of renewed focus on strengthening Afghan security forces and all that. But I think there also needs to be more attention being paid to the political aspect of all that. And we should not forget that things have changed enormously in this region. Iran, Afghanistan, and India last year signed this agreement over the Chabahar port. So Iran has all the interest in contributing to Afghanistan's stability, because this future success of its Chabahar port, which it envisions to compete with Gwadar port, the Chinese-supported, Chinese-financed Gwadar port in Pakistan, it really hinges on peace, stability, and security in Afghanistan.
Great. Thank you very much, Abu Bakr Siddiq, editor of Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty's Gandhara website, for your insightful comments. And also, big thanks goes to Ahmed Khalid Majidyar, the managing editor of Iran program at the Middle East Institute, Eric Jones, former U.S. intelligence analyst in Eastern Afghanistan. Thank you, gentlemen, for being with us today on Gandhara podcast.
Pleasure to be
here. Thank you.
Thank you. And this is it from me, Mohammed Tahir, your host in Washington, D.C. Until next podcast, bye-bye.